This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey all, welcome back to the Real Life Pharmacology Podcast. I am your host and pharmacist, Eric Christensen. And today on this episode, I'm going to be talking about ondansetron. Brand name of this medication is Zofran. And this medication is primarily used to help prevent symptoms of nausea and vomiting. And with that, that nausea and vomiting could be due to a variety of reasons. So one of the most common medication-induced nausea and vomiting situations is with chemotherapy. So we may use it in that setting, particularly with agents that have high emetogenic potential. There may be various disease processes. So in my practice, mostly in geriatrics, experience in geriatrics, you may see hospice patients on this medication that maybe through their disease process or something, they're having some nausea and vomiting. Another good example of a situation is gastroparesis from patients with diabetes that may run into that issue there. I have seen ondansetron used in that situation. But as a clinical pharmacist, I think about nausea and vomiting. And when I see nausea and vomiting, it immediately makes me think of medications. And you really got to look out for Zofran when you see it as being one of those trigger type medications that's managing or potentially masking a side effect of another medication. So some great examples of, somewhat common medications that are used out there. So the GLP-1s, so these are your Victozas, Byettas, Trulicities, things of those natures, Ozempic. Those medications can cause a significant amount of nausea and stomach upset. So keep an eye out for those. Metformin can cause some GI upset, certainly. Digoxin toxicity. Acetylcholinesterase inhibitors in dementia. Opioids can sometimes, especially initially, cause some stomach upset and things. Drugs with dopamine agonist activity. I think of managing Parkinson's disease, and if we get too much Sinemet, we might run into some of that nausea and vomiting. Antibiotics, of course, incredibly common cause of stomach upset, nausea. NSAIDs as well, another common example that I have seen cause some issues there. So definitely look out for those trigger medications that we might be using ondansetron for. Mechanistically, so this drug's a selective 5-HT3 receptor antagonist. Essentially, it blocks serotonin activity within the chemoreceptor trigger zone, sometimes referred to as CTZ. And this area is basically found in the brain, specifically, I believe, the medulla oblongata. But with that's kind of the central area region that we've found, researchers have found to be the control center for nausea and vomiting. Basically, it can be triggered by substances and substrates in the blood that run through that area that the body may trigger as, poisonous or toxic, and we want to get rid of those in a very quick fashion there. So that's where the drug acts potentially there. Now, if you remember in the CTZ, there are other neurotransmitters in play. And dopamine is a big one there, which I'm not going to talk about on this podcast much. But if you remember, some of our dopamine blocking type agents can be used to help manage nausea and vomiting as well there. Adverse effect profile. Usually it's fairly well tolerated from what I've seen in practice. I would say probably some CNS changes are going to be of the most common within the adverse effect profile there. So you may see some drowsiness, sedation type effects, maybe dizziness, maybe headache, things of that nature. But there's two specifically that I did want to mention that definitely do come up. Again, very, very rare, these two, but certainly something to think about. So the first one, QTC prolongation, and I'll talk a little bit about that in drug interactions, thinking about other medications and risk factors. As far as non-medication risk factors that you got to think about when we're talking about EKG changes and that risk of torsades due to QT prolongation. So low magnesium, low potassium. If a patient you know has a lot of pre-existing heart issues, that might be a patient at risk there as well. And then certainly those medications too, which I'll cover in drug interactions. Serotonin syndrome was the other rare, but obviously serious potentially reported issue with these medications. And particularly you think of other meds that would exacerbate that serotonin type effect. I have seen conflicting evidence on this. So the FDA, they've come out and said, you know, we've received reports on serotonin syndrome with ondansetron, and particularly maybe on patients on some of those other medications, which I'll cover. And then I did see a review article that says, you know, this isn't an issue, and or there really isn't any true mechanistic way that we can hypothesize that there should be an issue. Because if you think about it, we're blocking serotonin, so it should, in theory, depending upon the receptor, have blocking type effects, not additional serotonin, too much serotonin activity. So that one's still kind of up in the air for me, I guess, as far as what do you do in clinical practice. I have seen drug interaction flags come up for this, and if somebody's on, let's say, sertraline or SSRI, with that said, I certainly look at it, I think about it, and kind of weigh it on an individual basis, a risk-benefit type of assessment there. So, again, hopefully we get some more research on this. I've seen it potentially both ways, where some say, yes, this is absolutely an issue, and other research may be saying, yeah, maybe it's not really that big a deal. So I would keep your eyes out in the future and see if we can figure out more info on that and help, you know, kind of settle how big of a deal, if it is a big deal. Let's take a quick break from our sponsor, and we will cover drug interactions when we get back. If you're in the market for test prep material, Naplex, BCPS, BCACP, geriatric exam, pharmacotherapy, or the medication therapy management certification, which is a newer release, definitely go check out meded101.com/store. If you're not a pharmacist, we have plenty of other resources as well there. So books on Amazon, for example, books on audible.com, which you can get your first one on Audible for free. So go definitely check out those links there. Again, all those are at meded101.com/store. And we greatly appreciate the support, which helps keep the Real Life Pharmacology podcast at no charge to you. So again, meded101.com/store. Now finishing up on drug interactions here, Zofran or ondansetron is a CYP3A4 substrate. So that means that the enzyme CYP3A4 breaks down this drug. So if we alter the effect of that enzyme by using other medications, for example, that could lead to altered concentrations of the drug. So inducers of CYP3A4 can lead to lower concentrations or risking less effectiveness, basically. So your rifampins, your St. John's wort, and I think I've gone through quite a few of those throughout previous podcasts as well. And inhibitors can potentially raise concentrations. Now, the serotonin, controversial serotonin syndrome risk, and you know the case reports associated with that, drug interactions-wise, we got to think about patients on other drugs that can cause serotonin issues. So SSRIs, SNRIs, TCAs, MAOIs, tramadol potentially. So those are just some common examples that you might see that interaction flag come up and then have to deal with it basically on a case-by-case, patient-by-patient basis there. QTC, prolongation drug interaction risk, is the last one I wanted to talk about. You've got to think about antiarrhythmics, specifically, you know, amiodarone is probably the most common one I see used still in clinical practice. And if you've got a patient on that and you add ondansetron, that risk of QT prolongation can certainly go up. Other medications that come to mind, the antipsychotics, quinolone antibiotics maybe, macrolide antibiotics. So just some examples of drugs that may, in combination with ondansetron, work to prolong that QT interval. So I think that wraps it up for today. If you enjoy the podcast, please, please take the time. Go leave us a kind rating review on iTunes. Greatly appreciated to all of you who have already done that. If you're listening somewhere else, definitely feel free to leave us a rating and review there as well. If you'd like to get an update as to when we have new podcasts available, you can definitely go to reallifepharmacology.com and subscribe there. And we've also got a free 31-page top 200 PDF that can definitely be advantageous to nursing students, pharmacy technicians, you know, med students, NPs, PAs, and the like there. So highlight the top 200 drugs, and I highlight really important things that actually come up in clinical practice there. I'm going to sign off for today. You can track me down at meded101.com or reallifepharmacology.com and shoot me an email if you'd like. Have any suggestions, comments, concerns, definitely feel free to shoot those my way. You can also track me down on LinkedIn, Eric Christensen, PharmD, BCPS, BCGP, and connect with me there. Signing off for today. Thanks so much for listening and have a great rest of your day.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.